So I'm reading from Ezra chapter 1. You can see you've got the right page number, 472 in the church Bibles. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem, Judah, and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts in addition to all the freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought out by Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This was the inventory. Gold dishes, 30, silver dishes, 1,000, silver pans, 29, gold bowls, 30, matching silver bowls, 410, other articles, 1,000. In all there were 5,400 articles of gold and silver. Sheshbazzar brought all these along with the exarchs when they came up from Babylon to Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sure, it'd be nice if those of you who are smaller would come to the front. I've got an activity I'd like you to help me with in a bit. So if there's any children who are at primary age and are willing to come to the front, please come and sit on this front row. That'd be great. If you can read a Bible, bring one, because we're going to be looking at it together. Terrific. Well done. We've got a couple of you. That's excellent. So this is the first of a Sunday teaching series we're going to have in church through two books in the Old Testament. The first one, Ezra, we've just started, and then the next book, very next book in the Old Testament called Nehemiah. And we're looking at these all of September, October, November. So it's a long stretch. They're from the Old Testament, and this is a time when God's people were far away from the Promised Land. They had been taken away from the Promised Land by Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. And that's where they are at this time. These two books, that Ezra, we're starting with, and then Nehemiah, they have a lot of letters in. I've got one of them here. We've got a lot of letters from the king. You can read it. It's in verse 2. This is a letter that the king sent to all the people in his realm. Do you see in verse 2? This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who's in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. So that's the first letter that we've got, and we'll see some others. You can actually see another message by Cyrus, this king, in central London. You have the slide? There we go. That's in the British Museum. So this man is in our Bible. That's a message that he wrote that was put onto what's called a clay tablet. They made the lettering on the outside of it. So he's not a make-up person. He's someone who was in history, just like the Lord Jesus was in history. This letter, though, the one I printed out and that we've got in our Bibles, it's all about a temple for God in Jerusalem. So did you see that? Verse 2. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem. And then verse 3. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord. And at the end of verse 4, again, it mentions it's all about the temple. What from those verses, what from verse 4 did it say they needed? Anyone read from verse 4? What did they need? Or what did Cyrus say they needed to take? Silver and gold, brilliant. What else? Yeah, goods and livestock, and something called free will offerings. So the things people want to give up. Can we have the list, please? There we go. There's the list. Things that we need for the temple in Jerusalem. It's all about building God's temple, which is God's palace. It's the place that he lived in the middle of the city of the people of God. It was like his house. These are things that they're going to pay for building the temple. These are things that are going to make the temple beautiful. And these are things they're going to use in the temple. That's what this part of the Bible is all about. Getting ready to go and build God's palace in the city. So what do the people do? Let's have a look at verse 5. They get ready to go. Verse 5. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Again, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go and build the temple. They get ready. And what do the people around them do? They give them things to take. Verse 6. All their neighbors assisted them. And check this against the list on the board above me. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver. You got that? Articles of gold. Yeah. Goods. Livestock. And valuable gifts, something extra. They gave even more, and in addition to the free will offerings. So all the things on the list and extra stuff. And then the king gives some things as well. Verse 7. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord. We'll think about that in a minute. So children who are here, what happens in this story, I want us to think, is that we are here a long way away from the promised land, and the emperor Cyrus is in charge and says, we can go back to the promised land. People around you are going to give you stuff to take. So if you go over to that side of the building, everyone in that side of the building has got stuff to give you that can be used for building. I think you know what I'm talking about if you're sat on those seats. So to children, if you can go and ask them for stuff, I've got a trolley here we can fill up. And we can collect the things they've got. So can you go and ask the people in church if they can give you things to take? And they've got some things they're going to give to you. And you can come and fill up this trolley. Lucas, if you go over there, they'll start handing them. Alexandra, if you want to go over and ask the people who are over there. Yeah, Rob will show you who to ask. And then we can fill this trolley with them. Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Oh, well done. Can we find something?
Yes, got something. Can you give them all that you can find? People go further back. Lucas, right to the back row as well. What sort of things are they collecting? Different colours? Thanks, Rob. You're good. Thanks, Rob. You're a good sort of overseer. Thank you very much for coming and helping. Terrific. Well done. Great. Alexandra, you're putting it along. That's terrific. If you could bring it to... Imagine the people collected all this stuff and now they're going to take it all the way back to the land where they'd come from. So far, far away. And I'll lift it up on here. Now, if we had time, what do you think we would do with these things? What do you do with those sorts of things? You build stuff, don't you? Yeah, and we don't. I decided we didn't have time to put them all together. Do have a seat. Thank you for helping with that. But that's, yeah, give them a round of applause. And thank you, Rob. That's what happened. King Cyrus said, the people can go home, and all the people who they live near, you need to give them things to take so that they can build the temple, so they can pay for the temple, so they can do things in the temple. And the king himself gave some things. Look in... Verse 7, moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. So before, Nebuchadnezzar had been the top king. He had taken over and had taken the things from the temple and taken them all the way to that distant place of Babylon. And where had he put them? Yeah, in the temple of his own god. Not in his palace or in his bedroom. But now that's the way they thought you dealt with the gods. But now Cyrus is king. He's the new big king. And he's decided, no, I'm going to make that go the other way. The people can go back, they can take things to build the temple, and I'm going to give them the stuff that came from the temple. So you say in verse 8, Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought out by Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. So they've got all the stuff. And he sends the people back to their land. Can we have the slide? Here we go. From Babylon, and a big arrow saying they're going back to the promised land, the place where they'd live with God. Cyrus he's a king over lots of countries, and what he thinks is, well, the God of Israel, he's just a God who lives over there, and we've got a God over here as well. So in end of verse 3 it says, Cyrus' letter says, and of his people among you, you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel. The God is in Jerusalem. Yes, he's the God of the heavens, he's the sky God, but he's the sky God who lives in Jerusalem. And we've got another God who lives in Babylon, and there's another God in all the other countries I'm in charge of. That's what he thought. It looks like he's in charge, doesn't he? The gods are not very strong. But I've missed one important part of the chapter. Which bit haven't I read again? Which bit have I skipped? Have we not looked at? Verse 1, well done. Let's look at verse 1, the very first bit at the top. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, this mighty king who's in charge of all the countries, in order to fulfill, so to bring to truth, the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, God's messenger, the Lord moved the heart of King Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation. So God is the one living God is the one who's in charge. Looks like Cyrus is in charge. But no, the one living God. And he had gave a message to Jeremiah years before, giving a promise. And his promise was that the people would go back to the land. And his promise was that they would build a house for God again, a temple or a palace. Oh God, he always keeps his promises. Not going very good at singing that yet. We need to practice a bit more, I think, don't we? But that's what the song sang, wasn't it? Oh God, he always keeps his promises. Who is he using? He's using this mighty King Cyrus, who thinks he's the boss, but he's not. God's the real boss. So God makes the way for his people to live with him. Next slide, I hope, has that. There we go. They're far from God in Babylon, and they need to come to be with God in the promised land. And across the top of the board it says, God makes a way for his people to live with him. Now, I'm looking for someone a bit older, who was on the Pathfinder camp with Rhys, who can think about what this reminds you of. Just think about what's happening here. The Lord God is doing something in the heart of a foreign king. The foreign king is saying the people can go free. And he's telling their neighbours that they've got to give them silver and gold to pay, to take with them when they go. And they use that silver and gold to make a place for God. When has that happened? People who were away on the camp at Woolley with Rhys. When did that happen before? You should remember it. I heard someone say it. Sorry, could you say it again? Paul, you weren't on camp, but I'll take that answer from you. Yeah, well done. It was the land of Egypt. They went from Egypt. So when Moses was alive, God took the people from Egypt so they could live with him. He did something in the heart of a foreign king. They did it in Pharaoh's heart. The foreign king Pharaoh, he said, Moses kept on saying, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, yeah, go away. And the people of Egypt gave away silver and gold. And they then used that for making a place for God, a tent that God would live amongst them. So we've got the same thing. Oh, here we go. Could you go back? There we go. Far from God in Babylon to with God in the promised land and go forward again. It's the same thing happening again as happened a long time ago. And then go on to the next slide. From Babylon to the promised land. It's the sort of thing God does. It's the sort of thing God does. He takes people back to be with him, and they will rebuild his temple or the palace. And that's what chapter 2 is about as well. We're not going to spend so much on chapter 2, so much time. Just have a quick look. You can see it's a long list, and a lot of the list is names. Now, these are the... I'll read from the beginning of chapter 2. These are the people of the province who came up from the captivity of the exiles whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive to Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town, in company with... And then there's some leaders. Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Zariah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mishpah, Bigva, Rahum, and Barna. Glad I never have to do a baptism for them. So that's a list of names, and the names carry on. So if you go on a trip, I don't know, some of you have been on school trips. Teachers always put on these super bright tops, don't they, so that you don't get lost. And I think the children, you've seen this where children are at schools, go on a trip, and they'll have a clipboard, and they'll go through the names. I need a pen just to check everyone's here. So imagine, you know, if I was taking you on a trip, I'd shout out your name, you'd have to shout yes. So I'd say Betty. Yes. Adelaide. Yes. You're not Adelaide. Adelaide. Yes. Bit louder. Yes. Yes, Adelaide's here, thank you. Jim. Yeah, Jim's here. Mark. Anderson. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Reese. Yeah. Yeah. And we go through the list, tick them off. Those people are all here. That's what they do, don't they? Well, on this trip, they've got this list of people's names. And then there's a second list, beginning at verse 36, carrying on. They'll need people to do different jobs. Reese is at college, training to do a job. Jonathan's about to start college on Wednesday this week, aren't you, to learn to be a mechanic. We might have jobs like, what have I got on my list here? Someone who can work... You've got someone here who can work computers? Anyone can work computers? Someone can. Shout yes, please, Mark. Yes, someone who can work computers. Very good. Someone who can look after children in school? Anyone? Anyone do that for work? Anyone work with those who are a bit deaf at school? Yes, thank you. I'm going to pick on you if you're not going to shout out. Anyone any good at working? Someone I know is a fire marshal in buildings. Yes, terrific. So those are sorts of jobs. But those aren't the jobs we've got here. Okay, what are the jobs on this list? Verse 36, the priests. Verse 40, the Levites. Verse 41, the musicians. Verse 42, the gatekeepers of the temple. Verse 43, the temple servants. Nothing about farmers or clothing manufacturer or metal workers. It's all jobs to do with God's palace or God's temple, because that's what this trip is all about. It's about going back to the land to live with God, and God has this the palace or temple as a sign that he lives with them. God is making a way for his people to live with him. And that is the kind of thing God does. God makes a way for people to live with him. Now, you know, if we'd had time, I said we didn't have time, and I think I was right, we didn't have time to make a building with our bricks here. But could we have made a house that people could live in with these bricks? I couldn't, could we? You couldn't live in a house with those bricks. It's just to show us what it's like. Could God live in the building that they were going to make in Jerusalem? I can't hear. No, he couldn't. He couldn't live in that building. It was just to help us understand that the real moving to be with God was only going to happen when Jesus came. Okay, this isn't the real thing back in the time of Ezra when they went to the promised land. Even though they had real gold and real silver and they made a real building, God didn't live there. The real thing is when Jesus comes and makes a way for us to live with God. I think, have I got a slide here? Here we go. Jesus made a way for his people to live with God. The New Testament says we were in far away land and Jesus took us to brought near land. We were in darkness and Jesus brought us to light. Can we have the next? Here we go. With God is being in light. So there's a verse in the New Testament that says Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Son, where we have light. You see, life before we believed in Jesus was all about being afraid of dying. And we were busy with things that would never last. And we didn't know God. And we didn't want to know God. And we couldn't find him. It was dark. But God made a way for his people to live with him. He sent Jesus so we can be forgiven. He opened his arms to let us in when he died on the cross. Jesus makes forgiveness of sins. So that's light. It means we can own up to him and we can own up to others when we have messed up. We're not afraid of the truth anymore because Jesus has brought us into light. We've started to know God. And all this has happened because of Jesus. God, you see, it says at the top, Jesus made a way for his people to live with God, with the Father and with Jesus. Jesus died to wash us clean when we put our trust in him. We couldn't make the way back to God. We were like the people who were stuck in Babylon. You know, they couldn't go until Cyrus let them free. We were stuck, but God could come and Jesus could come and set us free. And God always keeps his promises. He said his son would set us free. And Jesus has made a way for us to live with God. Took us from dark to light. He loves us so much. He loves us so much that he died so that we could be free. And that's why we sing. That's why we sing about him, isn't it? Because he loves us that much. Well, isn't that a great thing to learn? And that's what the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are really about. It's God's people being far away, coming back to live with God. And we know the real story happens when Jesus comes so that we can live with God now. I'm conscious I've got this silly top on. I'm going to lead us in a prayer and then hand over to Joel. Children, if you just stop for a prayer and then I'll send you back to your seats. Let's pray to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want us to be with you. You want us to be in the light, not in darkness. You want us to feel safe and not to have life full of fear. You want us to know that we're alive and not to have our lives always thinking about death and dying. And we thank you that you sent Jesus to bring us to you. And we thank you in his name. Amen.